wisdom and truth. And here Solomon says, by the truth. He said, by the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And it says here, lesson. Truth and wisdom are worth any price and should never be traded away. Truth and wisdom at any price should never be traded away. You know, yesterday we did a financial class, and one young lady was so surprised by how many scriptures dealt with finances, you know, because sometimes we don't pay attention. We don't even realize. And the word tells us he deals with everything we deal with in the world in this book. There's nothing. This book is alive and well. Who believe the book is alive and well? It's living, you know, and it gives us evidence on how we should live. And that's why he's saying, don't give up your wisdom. He said, grab hold of it. Don't sell yourself short. You know, when too often we don't press forward or press on getting the information that we need, definitely if things get a little rough, you know, or get a little complicated, we ready to bail out, oh, it's too much time, I don't want to do it, you know. And sometimes we don't even realize how much benefit it has for us, you know. Have you ever experienced that, Boss, as far as like, somebody wanted to give you something or had something for you, but it took an effort that you had to put out in order to get it. And at that time, you didn't realize the value of it.
Is that right now? I will use parenting for an example. Sometimes, you know, when you're a fresh parent, you don't really want to listen to the advice that they have to provide to you, but you actually grow up and get deeper into parenting. You can revert back and be like, I wish I would listen to this type of day one. So that's the way that I can put it.
Yes, yes. How about you, right? Gotcha. No, you're right. But what I found, it's always good to be open to receive information. You know, even if you may know it, there's something more someone can add on to what you know. You know, because we don't know it all. You know, we can know bits and pieces, like you said, even with parenting. You know, you're parenting at a young age, but now your daughters are older. Now it's a different form of parenting. It's a different way you got to deal with it. So now you need some advice on how to deal with different situations. You get what I'm saying? So there's different stages. There's different stages of growth and learning. And we got to be open to receiving. And too often, we think we got to figure it out. And we begin to shut the information off.
I don't necessarily think that we think we got to figure it out. You know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor during the day. I ran my group today was based off humility and pride, the difference, right? And I think that a lot of people need to learn the difference between humility and pride, because humility is just simply me saying that you tie your shoe this way. You could be 45 years old and you're open and accepted to tie your shoe how I'm telling you to tie your shoe, even though I'm only 32. But your pride is going to say to me, I know how to tie my shoe, I'm 45 years old. That's your pride getting in the way. No different than somebody delivered to me like this. They said that humility is what allows God to come in and does what he needs to do to your life. It's the pride that keeps God out, that doesn't allow God in. So once it was dropped on me like that, I try to operate every day and live my life in humility. I try not to be prideful. I understand that I'm human, I understand that I'm going to make mistakes, but I just wanted to share that, because that was a great example when you were saying like, you need to be more open and accepting.
Yeah.
Learning is that's a different thing, humility and pride.
And that's so important. And definitely for men, young men, and growing up, and you know, you see it, definitely dealing with alcohol and stuff like that, drugs and alcohol, you see that pride, and I don't issue. I don't have a problem. You know, people don't want to admit that that's a problem. And it's not just with drug and alcohol. It's a whole lot of things, you know, being humble and being able to recognize. And like you said, that's how God is invited in. And that goes for all of us in every area of our life. We got to humble ourselves and be able to recognize those areas that we need help in. That's where the help comes in.
I agree.
You know, and that's what's important right there. And it says here, lesson, go back, it says, truth and wisdom are worth any price and should never be traded away. Application, prioritize spiritual and moral truth above popularity, trends, and game. You know, because that popularity, what feels good and everybody, because you the man and you being prideful and boastful make you feel good, but you still don't know nothing.
That's a lie.
But that's the thing that the enemy put out there. The enemy put that out there, and people chase that and think that make them, they don't really have nothing. They don't know nothing, you know? And that's the sad part. Bob, you want to read 24? Let's go to 24, where it talks about bring joy to your parents through righteous living.
The father of the righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Lesson. Living wisely honors your family and brings them joy. Application. Let your life reflect godly values that bring honor to those who pour into you.
So as you read that, okay, Pastor Bruce, come on all up. But Boz, as you read that, what do you think about that? You know, as a father, you know, when I see you come here picking up your daughter today, and she giving you some assignments, you know, how does that joy fill your heart when you watching them reflect you, you know, and the things that you and your wife had and your family have instilled in them?
I think that me and a mom definitely set the stone of just like upfront honesty, right? And you know, I will say the difference is my child, it's no secret who I am. My child, like, they have a father who honors them. You let it go. So, like, to see my children, like, praying now, excited about church, praise dancing, whatever they may be doing in their own little room, because of the examples that I'm setting already within this past year, it's like I'm rejoicing because I'm seeing it in my younger self. That's right, my children. You know, so all I can do is keep moving forward. Again, like I made clear myself, so I'm not perfect, but I'll have those try. Yeah, so.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, Pastor Bruce. 23? Okay, yes. You want me to read it, or you want to just go into it? Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Oh, I'll break it.
Your children are wisdom works in every generation, and it unfolds revelation when you discern instructions in the season that you're in. Like your kids are learning now, when they get older, they'll discern more about the wisdom and instruction they've got. When they're younger, it will unfold more mature instructions they'll grow spiritually instead of just emotionally. Right now, they're going through emotional attitude, the stuff, some playing church stuff. But when the wisdom kicks in, it will reveal a deeper level of who they are in God. That's what wisdom does. That's why it says discernment, judgment, instruction, and understanding.
Yes. Yes. You want to share? Yeah.
Reminded me about just how God can get us in our mess, like right in mess. And so I got
something I want to say to that. So he right, God will get with you when you're in your mess, because I'm not ashamed to say it. So like God put me, I'm in a state of like isolation right now. I can't do nothing. Like, I've tried. Don't worry. Like, nothing's worked. And I think that, you know, you definitely have to watch what you pray for, because I prayed for something. Right? And I gave God a certain amount of things, and it's just like, I can feel like I don't even know if he's going to let me go after a certain amount of things that I saved. So it's just like, you know, the answer that is like he will deal with you when you're messing. Right now, I'm learning as a man what it's like to actually be alone and deal with your emotions as a man. And I think that's what a lot of men need to do. Gotta make us better as men, digging in with yourself, learning yourself, identifying yourself. Because, like, I never needed a woman financially, it was always just the body to body dependency. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now that I took it to God, and God said, okay, I'm gonna bring you here.
I was just saying, I was talking to a friend earlier, and I'm just saying how thankful that I am for God, because he sat me down time and time again just so I could keep my eyes on him. But it was so much time that I felt like I had what I wanted. But that's so tricky, because when you get the things you want, you'll think you're okay, and you'll be so worried about the wrong stuff. You'll be so far away from God. But God loved me. Love us so much, like he continues to take things away from you, sit you down. You think like, why does he happen to you? The whole time he just wants your attention, he wants you to do it the right way.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to say about your morals over the popularity stuff, because you'll continue to lose it all.
Oh yes. Yep. Yep. We got a comment.
So I know that we're on verse 24, but I want to skip back or go back to verse 12.
Okay.
Says, apply your mind to instruction and correction, and your ears to words of knowledge. So all that we're talking about, you can't get to where you're at where you can choose your morals over the world, and where you make the right choices and use the discernment and the instruction. They won't come until you apply your mind to that instruction and the correction. You have to. It goes back to what Bob was saying. You have to be open to what God has for you. You can't get within yourself and tell God how to do things. You can't put God in a box or give him a timeline. You know, you have to, that's why he tells us to lean not to our own understanding. You know, but you have to apply your mind and your heart towards instruction, towards receiving what God has for us, because he chases who he loves and he guides us.
Yes. And it's not that he don't warn us or tell us. You just don't listen.
But again, like what Buzz was saying, the word says pride comes before a fall. So if you are open with the humility and you receive what God has to say with humility, then you'll be open to that correction. But if you bind yourself up, and I'm going to say that again, if you bind yourself up and get in your own flesh and in your own mind that you don't receive what God has, you can't receive that correction. So you're going to fall, and you're going to fail when you fall.
Yes. And you know, and mind you, this passage of scripture has come before the New Testament scripture, where it talks about renewing the mind. And that's all this is the renewing of the mind. It's a transformation that needs to happen in us in order for us to be able to receive these things that we're talking about right now. And all of us are here right now because it's a transformation that's taking place in our lives, you know, and that's what's exciting about it, because we're just seeing it begin to really manifest itself in our life. And I really look forward to what's next, you know, and so long as we're doing it according to His will, and like you said, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes in this step, because these are some things we've never done before, you know, and that's why having the body is important, because they will help guide us in those directions, you know, just like you talk about the parent, you know, help guide you in those directions so you don't have to make those missteps that they've made already. And that's what's important right there. You want to read number seven.
Number seven says, flee sexual immorality. For an adulterous woman is a deep pit. She has increased the unfaithful among men. Verse 27.
The lesson
says sexual sin is a trap that destroys character, relationships, and futures. And the application says, protect your purity, guard your eyes, your heart, and your steps.
That's right.
Now, this is one that a lot of people don't like talking about. But this is one where so many of us trip over. You know, so many of us trip over this here. And I was sharing with someone earlier, well, a couple of days ago, as far as we live in a society where you have to watch what you watch. Watch what you watch, you know, because there's so many things out there that will try to distract you and have you chase after your desires and lust after things, you know, and that's where we have to really bind ourselves. This is the time we need to bind ourselves, you know, and who God is calling us to be and what we want for ourselves and our lives, you know. What do you think about that, Boz? And so when anybody got something, anybody want to tap into that, please step up.
I want to talk to the young men, right? Real fast. I think that the young men need to wake up and identify that their body is valuable too. Right? Because, like, in this day and age that we live in, there's still a lot of women who understand that their body is valuable, right? But it seems to be that the men, the young men, even older men, it's like they don't get that they're valuable also. And really, like, the body should be earned. That's something that should be earned. It's not like a you know what I mean? And it's like, actually, like, you should do it the right way. You should carry it through, get married, etc. So it's like, my personal opinion of it is know your value, know your worth. Self-worth is very important. You should know that about yourself. So that's why I want to.
You said a lot right there. Because, and that's so true, because so many young men, myself included as a young man, didn't value myself. You know, we didn't really understand the value, and we lost a part of who we are in those stages of just living, you know, what, not maybe living, just existing, you know, because we really wasn't living. Yeah, we got a comment and didn't do that.
You know, this scripture was written thousands of years ago.
Yes, it was.
Because it talks about a woman and a man falls for the people, right? Now, it's the reverse. Come on, isn't it?
That's it.
That women fall into a deep pit because of the man. Because it seems like the value that the women put on a man and don't get what they want, they fall so deep into anger, revenge, animosity, and all these other things that they, I mean, it's, you know, it's seen evident all over on social media, on TV and the reality shows, they're fighting at a level of mental and emotional war that's going on. I mean, it's terrible. And you're right, Dr. Bob. A man should value himself to the highest because he's been authorized by God to walk in masculinity as a man. And without a man, how can the woman understand who she is? Praise God. Let me get my second sermon.
What I wanted to say about that is, I feel like we say a lot, and we have like kind of like a lot more about that you can try to stand on with the person, without the opposite person. But I feel like the second you open to sex, most of that go right out the window. And we pay a lot, and then it's a lot of stuff we don't pay attention to when we focus on love and sex. And the moment that stops, you'll realize it's a whole lot of love.
Right, I'm gonna say this. If I want to get hungry and eat, I'll go run for 20 minutes, okay?
But that's a discipline.
Yep.
That's a discipline, and that comes from a renewing of the mind. That comes from thinking and doing things different, you know, because we're realizing the value that we have. And through experience, through those failures in relationships and basing it off of just sex and finding out these relationships fail because y'all really don't have nothing else in common but just that, you know? And then you wonder why we have so much divorce and breakups and all these other things and bitter people is because we don't get to know the person.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna let that go. But
there's
another half to that because a lot of these people don't know how to hold accountability. We gonna go that one. A lot of people. I'm talking about from kids to 70 plus.
Oh yeah.
If you wasn't taught how to hold yourself accountable in general, it's no different than balance with money. You can have $5 and have more money saved than somebody that got $100. If you know what to do with money, if you know how to hold yourself accountable, it's no different. If you're not taught it. So it's like you could have this 20-year marriage, and when it's time for you to finally hold yourself accountable, you shake and froze, and it's like divorce.
Yeah.
Because Billy's right, and it's like,
yeah, you know, I was sharing this here because I heard this before, and it touched me because it resonated with me, and I shared it with him because it resonated so much with me. Where I said. I left my wife a whole lot of times in my head, you know, and I heard that from my brother, you know, but it's in my head, you know, because we're different, we're individuals, and we're not going to get along all the time, you know, but I know my wife has my best interests at heart, you know, and I have her best interests at heart, and we're not going to ever do anything intentionally to hurt one another. You know, so in my head, I might be mad and ready to go, but I ain't going nowhere, you know, and that's the part, and that accountability part is where it's easy to leave. It's easy to get up and say, all right, I'm done with this here, but it's hard to stay. That's the hard part. That's the hard part, and too many people bail out. I watched that growing up, and I always said I wanted to do it different. I watched that with my mom. I watched that with my auntie. I watched that with family members, and I said, I want to be different, you know, and I made myself accountable. Like you said, I made myself accountable because walking away is the easy part. The easy part. Staying is the hard part.
It's easy part. I know women in my personal life who husband and wife continue on each other, and like, you know, you go to therapy, you work it out. It's not just a divorce, even when cheating comes before. It's like You're not perfect. Stuff won't happen. The whole purpose is to make it work. So like you said, it's easy to go. But that strength, that muscle, when you're able to stay, when you're able to hold yourself accountable, when you're able to face reality of the stuff and the wrong that you did and not point the finger, it's like we can always move past it because the team is what makes the dream work.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So like that's what I stand on. I'm firm with that.
All right. Number eight. I'm gonna let you do this one. I'm gonna let Boz do that because he's a counselor in this area.
Yeah. Avoid drunkenness and addiction. Who has sorrow? Those who linger over wine do not gaze at wine when it is red. Lesson: addiction promises pleasure but delivers pain and destruction. Application: stay alert and sober-minded. Don't trade control for temporary escape. In the end, it bites like a snake and poison like a viper. These verse reveals the deceptive and deadly nature of substance abuse.
What you want to share on that? Because this is something that you deal with all the time. You know, and this is your profession.
So I'm very twisted the room. I'm only good at what I do because God had it written that way for me, and I had to go through my own purpose and addiction first, right? To fully understand addiction. 2017, my father passed away. You know, with death, sometimes you really don't know how to manage it, especially when you're a parent. You know what I mean? I mean, when it's your parents, so it's like, it was rough. Picked up perks. Perks was like a coping mechanism for me. I was able to, like, still, quote unquote, function. Wasn't functioning, but, you know, manage my life. And, you know, when reality hit who I truly was on a purpose sense, like, it was like, this ain't me. You know, and again, that's where that willpower that God gave us come into play. Because, like, even down to my clients, I don't let them sit in front of me and tell them, like, I can't, you can't. You got to dig deep enough to want it. Like, you got to dig deep enough to want to be able to change your life and move past what you're thinking. So it's like,
You know, even speaking on that, just with addiction, that's what all sin. You know, that's what sin. This is, you gotta have a desire to want something different. You know, and we able to quantify or put a name on it, saying alcohol or drug. You know, but it's a sin. It's a shortcoming that we have. And being able to overcome it. God has put us inside of us to overcome those things, but it has to be a desire for something more, a renewing of the mind. We got to come.
I wanted to share, I had read a book. It was called Addictions. And I've had my own. I haven't had like a serious like addiction, but there were things that I was addicted to, sex, weed, gossiping, you know, in different forms and everything. But I read the book, and the book was saying that because God created us with a void in our hearts that only He can fill. So when we as humans try to go fill it with those things, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, a drug, da, 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 it's never going to work. It's always going to be temporal. So in that book, it explained to me why I was going through the things I was going through. Why was I going through these things to try to cope? It's because God created that void in me that He wants me to go to Him so that He can refill it. But in that need for to even have an addiction, it's just us yearning for love. And God is love. Mm-hmm. So that's the only way that void is ever going to be fulfilled, you know? And I thought that was very powerful because even from a scientific, I'm a science major. So from a scientific perspective, our bodies are not chemically balanced. That's a footstep or like a place where the devil can come in and speak to our minds if our serotonin levels are off, if our dopamine is off. So I think that's very important to know why we are going to these things. Why are we
we're gonna wake up and we gotta fight the end of the devil. You know what I'm saying? The battle is that we're gonna keep our money in our storehouse or we're gonna give it to God, or that's the real battle. Like, are we gonna make an excuse to come to church or Bible study on Wednesdays? Are we gonna drop everything we gotta do and go with our work clothes on, tired, and if we get there late? That's the real battle. So don't put no other gods before him. It could be female, it could be your significant other, your kids, your job, liquor, all that. That's.
I just wanted to keep it on the scripture after the one that talks about it being the snake and biting. Because it says, I'm reading from the Amplified version, under the influence of wine or drugs or sex or whatever you're using for your addiction, your eyes will behold strange things and loose women. And your mind will utter things turned the wrong way, untrue, incorrect, and petulant. And you said something, Pastor Rob, about, you know, it's a sin. But not all of the addictions are sins. But we have to make that choice to lay aside every sin and wait that so easily besets us. So you can't run a race. I can't run a race against Bob and have a cinder block tied around my waist and it not slow me down. I mean, try to beat him, but if he's free and I'm not, that weight is still there. We have to make that choice, and that's when it goes back to talking about your mind again. Everything comes back to your mind. You have to renew your mind. You have to allow yourself to be changed with humility.
And I want to touch on that, too. That was great because, like, it's not all sin. And just from, like, sitting down and being able to, somebody who is really a stronghold. You know, you have some people who may say a stronghold is sin. That's fine. But strongholds can be released, right? Sometimes we sin and don't even know that we're sinning, right? So that's the difference between a sin and a stronghold. You are able to identify that stronghold once God reveals it to you. And you'll know when they drop it, right? So I believe, like, from the background that I come from, just people that I communicate with on a daily basis who started off fentanyl or heroin from a parent, if this was presented to you as a child, this is what you know as being right, right? So from child to adulthood, you're only doing what your parent taught you, right? So it's like, how do you wiggle or shake that? And, you know, what I have been referring to, like, people do and tell them to do lately is deal with your trauma. Revert back and deal with your trauma. Try to identify where in life it went wrong. Like, for me personally, prior to even my dad picking up a Percocet addiction, I was smoking weed. I started smoking weed because my grandma, my mom's mom, died in my room in my bed when I was 11 years old, right? And the day of the funeral, the repast, I had older cousins who were smoking. I was crying. They said, hit this. You're going to want to go in the house, eat food. You're going to stop crying. You won't even think about your grandma. And I sure enough did. I hit it. I choked. And I wouldn't eat food. Everything they said. But what they didn't tell me was they were going to have a grip on me how it did, because it wasn't just going to eat food. It was comfort. It was comfort. It was letting me know I was going to be okay. So even when life got overwhelmed with other situations,
comfort.
Where the weed at? I need comfort.
That's an awesome thing. This word in the scriptures, what we're going through, help us navigate out of the darkness.
Right.
You know, all those addictions and weights, they put you in a place that you think it's, you become familiar. It becomes your lifestyle. It becomes what you see all the time. And just somebody helps you navigate through that darkness to renew the mind. You don't think it's that bad,
yeah,
because you become familiar with it. You know, you get used to it. And like Sis said, lack of dopamine, whatever, in your system, you're going to feel it. And that feeling feels good. But the devil never tell you what's at the back door. You know, he'll tell you the horror, the rejection, the pain, the loneliness. And those are the things you deal with these guys every day for addiction. You have to navigate them through where, how they got there, and how to get back out of it. You know, so, you know, it is a weight, but it's all sin. All sin. Any way the devil put on is cause you to sin, fall short of God's glory. coffee, but it keeps you in the darkness of the enemy's groups. So you have to be navigated out of it. And it takes time. Everybody don't come up all at once. Some people take a while, you know. And they may use drugs, use marijuana, use cocaine, use perks, whatever, right? But it's all the same darkness. But what it does, it leaves a scar in you that has to be healed. And only God can heal that scar. That you walk like you've never been scarred before.
And I'm happy to say that.
That's great work that you're doing, bro.
I
appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. I love the work that I do. I love where God placed me at also. But I'm happy you said what you said, because I argue with a person. I don't care if somebody's doing meth and all you do is smoke Newport 100s. Your addiction is no different than the meth head and you a tobacco head. You're both addicted. Like, both of the addictions. It's no different. So,
you know, and that's important, because see, a sin is just missing a mark. You know, and see, people try to quantify it. You know, make one sin worse than the other. You're just missing a mark. Your weight might be a little different, but you still miss the mark, you know? And that's the part that we have that issue with, and the world becomes judgmental with that part, you know? And even the body of Christ. Even the body of Christ, you know? Yeah. Can you read that for us? Read that for the people, because some people might not have heard it before.
Amen. So Proverbs 6:16 says, this is the international version, it says, the word of God says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven things that are detestable to him. One, a haughty eye, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises schemes, wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into. Six, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who steals a
promise. You ever heard so many people say, God said. now, I'm not saying that God don't deliver messages, because he has no mercy way to deliver messages. But you just got some people that get into that habit that think just because they say that God said it, you We gonna go get in there. You'd be like, wow. Yes,
there you go. And that's why it's important for us to know the word for ourselves. You know, because see, the enemy will send people at you that's going to give you some false information because they want you to do what they want you to them to do.
Right. She just said what I was going to say, but the Bible says to try to. Try the word by the Spirit. So again, if it doesn't line up with what God has either told you already or what is in the Word of God, it's not God. And my response to them when they say God said, and I know God didn't say it, is thank you for that information. But when God gives me confirmation, I'll receive it.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, and that's one thing I say to people all the time. Look, if somebody try to speak into your life, God ain't gonna tell somebody else something about you without telling you first. They just confirm what God says to you. So if you ain't hear from God yourself, run. Run. You know, turn away and run. So we at the end of this chapter here. Raj, you want to read the first two reflections and discussion? Questions that we can have? Please, I have some.
Question one. I am pursuing truth and wisdom, or chasing status, wealth, or pleasure. Am I pursuing truth and wisdom, or chasing status, wealth, or pleasure?
You know, we in society that have us chasing the status, the wealth, and the pleasure, and not really seeking the truth and the wisdom. And that's the part where we got to grab hold of, and that's what Solomon is reminding us about. Yes, sir. Yeah, you want.
And I feel like, Pastor Rob, like, even like with our generation, we're trying to do both. Like, trying to figure out how can we get to God, but also how can we ourselves put ourselves at a status or to in a position. But the Bible tells us that God is the one who's going to exalt us. He's the one who's going to put us there when we humble ourselves. So I think that's important.
I want to say, I am pursuing the truth. Am I pursuing the truth and wisdom, or chasing status, wealth, or pleasure?
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, we're trying to do both, but then the Bible tells us that we need to serve some masters. We have to figure out which side to choose.
Yes. No hot and cold. No hot and cold. All right. Get it. Number two.
How do I handle correction or discipline?
How do I handle correction or discipline? You know, that, you know, I can remember early on in my marriage where there were some things that I might have thought I was doing right, and my wife was like, yeah, that ain't right, you know, but in myself, I want to be right, you know, and I was struggling with that correction, you know. But then I had to do self-reflecting, and that part of humbling yourself and being accountable for your part and your role, and being able to recognize, okay, maybe I'm not doing it the right way. Maybe I can do it differently. And it began to change me, and I began to look at it differently. And she was able to receive some things I said to her, you know. And that's a give and take relationship. And that's what it's about.
So what I'm learning as far as how to handle correction and discipline, for me, it's always been, I've had accountability issues with, you know, with, you know, if you don't know as much as me, you can't really tell me what to do. But God is telling me and has been teaching me to realize that once it comes, then I have to take the time and exercise accountability and then examine myself first before I can go back and receive it. I'm still struggling with just saying, okay, yeah, because like what you were saying, God said, blah, 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 and you're who again? And you're what again?
It'd be like that. Don't be like,
So what I do is when it's that person that I'm having a hard time with is I go back and I pray about it. Like, God, show me and give me the strength to deal with and fix whatever it is you're showing me. So that's how I've been dealing with it.
Humility.
So that's about, you know, your wife said that ain't right. Why'd you say, you got to tell me what you were doing? Was that your ego or was that your male?
Pride made you want to be right.
You know, the more you study the Word of God, the more you spend time with the Word of God, you know what is right. So we have to die out to our own selves and humble ourselves to the truth. You know, I think we all go through that. You know, when somebody tries to tell us something that we think we already know, and we know that they tell the truth, sometimes to face the truth, you have to be humble. You know, and especially if it's your mate. When your mate's telling you that it's wrong, you know, you don't want to say, well, you know, it takes power to say, sweetheart, you're right. Even though I can't even get it out like that. Would you say that a little louder? because women are good to tell us that we're wrong, but when we tell a man tells a woman that they're wrong, I think we both have to learn how to deliver the word and love and respect. Yeah, because
did you eat already?
Always, little right or wrong. If I gotta fix it myself, so but you know. That's right. That ain't right. But you know, someone that's telling you the truth, there got to be three principles to telling the truth for someone to receive. The tone has to be right. The words got to be right. And there has to be the right energy. You can't give them a negative energy with the wrong word and a vibe of 10. You know, you can't say, all I heard is your attitude. I never heard the opinion that you're coming from the pits of truth. Because if from the pits of truth, there should be some humility in it. So if you use the word, and remember, with the three principles of communicating the truth, you can't use the three C's. You can't criticize, condemn, or complain. Just give me your opinion and truth.
Right. And can I say something? That reminds me that you got to know who you're dealing with. If they walk in with God or not, because if not, most people won't even feel that conviction. After a long, they won't feel that conviction from God to even know they're wrong and be so blind to what they're doing. They'll never get it.
So you gotta know
who the person are that you're dealing with, because sometimes you gotta not wash your hands with people, but maybe for the meantime.
Wash your hands. So I do have a question for the woman, real fast. So I heard Pastor Bruce was saying. So what happens when it comes to the play when the men deliver softly? And y'all are at 10, y'all are yelling, fussing, and the man comes with the calm delivery. Because I have learned that the man to get my delivery off just as calm. But I'm saying the same thing.
That depends on when you decide to deliver that calm. That really does. It depends, because it depends on what made the escalation occur. And then you want to flip it, and then you want to be like, well, I think, and we're going to be like, you did not come in here with that.
But I'm saying, what about when you come in with that?
It has a place, and it has a time of delivery. It's not that it has a season. It depends. So, in essence, when you use the Bible, and you look at the Bible, and you read how when a man gets a wife, he gets a good thing, there's also parts of the Bible which I realized when we studied it in both, that I understood why I wasn't married. Because the things biblically that we as women are to do for the man, we're not of that mindset. So it makes it difficult, and neither is the man some of that mindset today either. So that's where the difficulty comes in, and you have to have that communication. At the end of the day, if the communication is not there, then it's going to always be that upheaval. Like you said, if you wanted to come and be calm about it, you would have to understand your mate and know when that calmness should come into play. It shouldn't come into play after we've had a big blowout, and then you're going to come in and be like, wow, that ain't going to work. Because we still at a level of trying to figure out why you came off the way that you came off. New York, hold on.
Because if someone don't come in with the calm voice, where does it go? You know, because if we keep it escalating.
Not that it has to be escalating. It's separate, breathe, and then come back together to come to that calm space. You don't just out of the room, you won't come in and now you're going to be calm.
Let me say something to you real quick. Because, look, if you look at all your emotions, your hands, your facial expression, you still got an attitude. Your attitude is still there.
Absolutely. And that's a part of who I am. That's not going to make you do say this, and I'm like, you don't do that. You talk with your hand. That's just my persona. But I'm a
But see, what happens
but
is,
since I found
what,
God,
what happens is the perception is going to show that you still got an attitude.
But that's only if you want to perceive it as I have an attitude instead of saying, oh, that's what she is. It's a thin line. It's a thin line because if somebody sees you, like I see you, right? I see the New York in you because I know what New York looks like. I see your walk and your swagger and your da-da-da-da-da.
But
everybody doesn't see that the same.
So I want to
We got two more people on comment. Come on. And then, go ahead.
Okay, so in response to what you asked, okay, what happens when we're raging and you guys come to us calmly?
From the rip, though, because y'all incorporated like the blow up and it was a blow up. No, I'm saying when the conversation starts and the woman is up here and the man from the get go is down here, and it still seems to be a problem that the man is down here.
Okay, so the Bible says,
like I said, like that.
The Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. So immediately, I know in my own personal situation, because we're newly married,
okay,
so we're still getting to know each other. We're still in the discovery process.
Correct. Okay.
So when issues arise, and I might start elevating to 10, if he kicks in with his way down there, like you were just saying, in this thing, immediately it changes. It triggers something inside of us that innate spirit is supposed to trigger because it's supposed to connect with the word. So again, it's supposed to turn away the wrath.
Well, I'm going to be fair and say it triggers inside of you. Everybody will have a trigger.
Anybody else want to comment on that? No? Okay. All right. So
that was good.
Yes, it was. Listen, for those out there, heavy on the trigger. For those out there, this is what this is about. Being interactive and having these conversations, this is how you grow and you learn. All right. You want to read number three?
Yeah. He says, what kind of influence do I allow from powerful or wealthy people?
What kind of influence do I allow from powerful and wealthy people?
None.
Now, we talked about this last week, or yesterday, matter of fact, the day before yesterday, last week. We talked about it last week. We talked about, it's not just about money. We talk about knowledge, information, you know, that's wealth as well.
Yeah, and then, so, okay, that's why I need to understand more. Well, I don't know, I'm at the point of my stage in my life where I don't even like winning that team. So it's like, I don't know. You have to
We said Bob, you got to do a root to the
root. Yeah, okay. I got that. Yeah, I still know that.
Who the person is, like, who was coming from.
Yeah, I still know that. And I'm at the point where, like, if God ain't really like me, cool. That's just me personally. I can only speak for myself. Like, and I'm starting to also identify, like, it's not that I'm cool. I was in a situation last week, and I don't know what they said to me. And it was like, I talked to that gentleman. God, and we talked like an hour and a half. The gentleman left saying that he would give God a chance. And he showed up to my job and admitted himself, and now he's there doing a 30-day stay. So I'm at the stage where I'm identifying the quote-unquote, and I'm saying quote-unquote because I'm not a pastor, right? So I don't be trying to like overstep my boundaries also of like when I'm communicating, but like save all souls if you can, and that's where I'm at. Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
And you don't have to be no pastor.
Yeah,
We all are ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah.
Right. You know, don't have no title. You are an ambassador of Christ. Your presence, what you say out your mouth, is a representation of who God is.
Right.
You know, right. And that's what it's about. You know, so don't ever hesitate with sharing God's word with somebody.
Number seven.
You want to read number four? We're going to read number four and five.
Number four says, are there areas in my life where I've allowed to
tough one, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is a battle that we all have because we all have different temptations, you know, and we got to be able to recognize those things for what they are and begin to pluck those roots. Don't even allow it to have a place. And a part of that comes with that humbling ourselves and being able to look at that man, woman in the mirror and be able to recognize those areas that need to be changed, need to be dug up, you know, find out where that trauma is at so we can fix it.
I agree. My favorite line is you can't go buy new clothes and say Jesus changed. The change comes from within.
Yeah.
Yeah, the change comes from within. So.
Man, I like that. I love that. I love that. Okay, you want to read number five?
Yeah. Number five said, how can I bring joy and honor to those who have died? By showing the glory.
By showing the glory.
Nobody wants to see you in the same spot every time they see you.
I said, you know, and I always talk about vision, where you see yourself. See, because God already has a destiny for us, you know, and we should also see ourselves. But it comes, he said, write the vision, make it plain, you know, and begin to allow that to manifest itself in your life. You know, you don't want to see yourself in the same position. That's how you honor the people who speak into your life. Oh, yes, yes. Pray before you write your vision. No question about that.
I want to say this real fast. I don't think people know how beneficial that is, like writing it down on paper and executing it. So that is very beneficial. When you try to do stuff mentally in your head, especially when you're dealing with God, because you never know which way God will take you on certain days. Like people, joy does come in the morning. But even when joy comes in the morning, depending on what God got for you installed that day, it's like, so it's like, that's it. That's all I want to say.
Yes. So one memory scripture before we go. It says Proverbs 23:23. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Summary application 23. Be discerning around wealth and power. Embrace godly discipline. Value truth and wisdom over material things. Avoid traps like addiction and sexual immorality. Live in a way that brings honor to those who invest in us. Amen? Amen. So with that, we're going to close today. Next week, we're going to be starting on 24, chapter 24. And a couple of the questions that it has, so just reflect on them right now. Where in my life am I tempted to envy the wicked? Where in my life am I tempted to envy the wicked? Number two, am I building my life on wisdom or on appearance or shortcuts? Number three, who are the wise counselors speaking into my life? Number four, how do I respond when I fall or fail? Do I rise again? And number five, am I guiding my heart from gloating, bitterness, or laziness? So we're going to be touching in on 24, chapter 24 of Proverbs. Please come be a part of our audience here. Be a part of it online. Submit your questions. Submit your comments. We welcome you. Come be a part of what we're doing here on Sundays, 10:30 here at Harvest. And every Tuesday for the next 5 weeks, we're doing Biblical Finance God's Way at 6:30 to 7:30. Come be a part. There's so much stuff happening here. Pastor Bruce, every second Saturday and fourth Saturday, he's having class. So come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. There's so much going on to help people grow in who God has called them to be. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night. Thank you.
absolutely.
What's that?
People come here.
Yeah.
Just full of
milk. I hope so. I hope so. I get you a shout out.
Yeah, I got some. I'm gonna talk to the team and see if we can do the advertising something.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see you next week. Thank you. I'll see you next week. I might, because I don't know what time we're leaving on Sunday. I might come by here. Did we find out if it's female parents or male? Yeah. I know, but I want to still see it. Yeah. I'm going to find out what time we're leaving.
Was
male or female?
I didn't ask him.
I'm going to call him now. You'll find out. My mom. Check-in's probably not till like 4 o'clock. Check-in's so late, you gotta check out so early. So. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. We might get an early check. Yeah, so I don't know. Depends on the time we leave. I might stop by here. No, that's the Velcro. Yeah, I think that's the Velcro. Yeah, I don't know. Huh? Where we said? Hard. Where am I staying?
Time's, how many gone?
It's three of us. My friend. I don't know. I'm gonna talk to him tonight. See if we drive my car, or because his cousin lives down there as well.
New York.
Yep.
Not down.
Oh my gosh! Down. Let me make sure. I get that right. I go out there. Yeah. I think it's somewhere around in Times Square. One of them. So we shall see. I've seen a couple stuff on TikTok. That I wanted to try. You can like pick your own seafood and walk through the line. And they cook it for you. Yeah, it's like a little seafood bag bowl. So something different that they don't got up here.
They don't got up here. You should say they don't have
down here. Yup. Yup.
I'm going to go down.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ray. I mean, Pastor Ray. Pastor Rob.
What you say? You going down to New York?
I'm going down to New York this weekend. I'm going up New York this weekend. I am, Pastor Rob.
Are you going to the system?
Saturday.
Me, because I'm not going to be.
For Tuesday, yeah.